at the scripture tonight, I'm going to start off tonight. I'm going to talk about tonight. We're studying at the lot. We're still being Colossians tonight, and I'm looking at it as a disconnect. I know what Paul is doing, Colossians and all of them. But I want to get the point across that tonight, if I was to talk about it, it's time for us to look at getting back into our churches and getting back into the church setting. And tonight I want to turn to start off with to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start there, and then I'm going to do several other scriptures. And while you're finding that, I want to encourage everybody, especially all of us who are able to. If you are not able to be in a worship service, then you'll consider what we used to call a long time ago sick and shut in, or if you're an invalid, whatever. Or if you're in a location that is, and you're not where you can attend a local service or whatever, then the Lord understands that, and Zoom works fine for you. And when we were going through COVID and doing all those periods of time, then, the Lord understood that. But don't ever think that for those of us, and it's a difference, and this is what I love about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit knows why you do what you do. He doesn't only know what you do, but He knows why you do what you do. He knows, in other words, it says when in Romans, the Spirit knows the heart. He knows the heart. He knows your purpose and why you do what you do. He knows the difference between the people who are in a setting where they cannot be in worship and the people who are able to be in worship. He knows the difference. And that's comfort, and that's very comforting to everyone, because everyone should take great comfort in knowing that the Spirit knows exactly what's going on in my life.
Yes.
And if you find it discomforting that the Spirit knows exactly what's going on in your life, then you probably need to rearrange your life so that you can take comfort in knowing that the Spirit knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows what your limitations are. He knows what your capabilities are. And this is why even when we give, it is the Spirit that knows whether or not you have given according to how much you, or whether you're blessed or not, or whether you've given for some other motive. So we are coming out now of back into our sanctuaries and our worship places. And during the time that we were in being held captive against our will at home by COVID, we made the adjustments to a lot of different ways of having services. But I'm finding that a lot of people have decided that they're comfortable with that. They're just going to stay with that.
Yeah.
And I want to say to you, if the only reason why you're comfortable with that and you're staying with that, you probably are missing the Spirit somewhere, because God made an allowance for them. He made an allowance for them the whole time they were in the wilderness. Israel was in the wilderness. They didn't do any circumcisions.
Yes.
Because they had to be ready for war, and they had to move, and they had to march. They didn't have time to be sick.
Right.
But when they crossed over Jordan, and when the first things that Joshua had to do was have them all circumcised, and God gave them time to do that. So then the Lord understands when we're being held hostage and we can't worship together. But I want to talk about tonight why we need to worship together, because I was reading Colossians and I was trying to get there, and I love Colossians. We're gonna look at it even more. But of all the books that Paul writes, when he writes the epistles to Ephesus and to Colossae and to Thessalonica and all those places, he's writing to people who are not only the saints of God, but those are established churches for the sake of having worship and coming together. I want to start off tonight in, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I want, because I want to bring you back in the mind of what we need to do there. And then the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about reasons why some people are not in a hurry to get back in churches. 2 Chronicles 5, and if you'll permit me tonight, I'm going to just flat out read. I'm going to read starting about verse number 11, 2 Corinthians 5 and 11. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read in New Living Translation, if you don't mind tonight, since it's historical and you won't miss anything by reading the New Living Translation. Then the priest, 2 Chronicles, if I said Corinthians, I meant Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 5 and 11. Did I say Chronicles?
Yes.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the priest left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites who were musicians, Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals and lyres and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets, and the trumpeters and the singers performed together in unison and to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by the trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: He is good, His faithful love endureth forever. And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. I want to read one more. It's in 2 Chronicles. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it's verse 14. And it's when Solomon finishes blessing the temple. And he says in this 7 and 14. And this is the prayer that all of us know. We know 14, but I'm also going to read 15. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore the land. That's the first part that we know in the second part. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer. For I have chosen this temple. This is what they're dedicating. It's a temple they're dedicating. God designed for us to have a place of worship because God has a temple in heaven. And we will worship at the temple that is in heaven. There is a place that is established to worship in. And I'm going to talk about this more as we get into the New Testament, but there's a joining and there's a fellowship that goes along with worshiping God that requires a presence to the extent that you're able. And if you have a chance and you read 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, which is really wonderful to read tonight especially, but it's a lot. Solomon goes through a whole list of reasons why people cannot be in the temple. Sometimes they're at war. Sometimes they're being carried away as slaves. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're this and that and the other, and they just can't make it. And he asks God if they will just look towards the temple, will the Lord hear their prayer? But the thing to understand when you're reading 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, every situation where Solomon asked the Lord to hear their prayers if they look towards the temple, they're in situations where they can't get to the temple. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Each situation that they're in, they're carried off into other lands, they're kidnapped, that they're whatever, because, you know, the Lord knows that eventually they're going to be carried off to Babylon, and Daniel and Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to have to pray to God, not in the temple and not with sacrifices. And so Solomon is really making a very spirit-filled prayer that covers every situation that we're in a difficult time. The locusts devour the fields, and, you know, plagues come like we've just had one, and so forth and so on. If everyone will just remember that there is a place where God, where we meet God, and where we come to God, and where we assemble ourselves, and where we come in fellowship to God. Because he says in 1 John, which is one of my scriptures, you can write this one down and we might go through that later, but we don't. He says, if we walk in the light, meaning for all of us who walk in the light and are not in darkness, all of us who are in God, if we walk in the light as God is in the light, as he is in the light, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, we have a kindred. There's a nature about us that causes us to come together. And when we do, We put all of our hearts and our minds together and we glorify God. And when we do that, God honors that. That's why most miracles that we see and most prayers that are answered, they're answered in the house of God. They're answered in worship. They're answered during prayer. That's why we come to church and we're comforted. And if you are here again, as when you read in Chronicles the 7th chapter, don't misunderstand me. Obviously, Solomon prays the prayer, and God understands that there are some situations where you cannot get to the temple, where you cannot get to the house of God. Matter of fact, there's a list of them. Yeah. Some of them are simply because the people have not been obeying God, and things have come upon them or whatever. And Solomon makes the point. He says, if the people will just consider the house of God and get back to the house of God, will you hear their prayer? Yeah. When they have done this, when they have come together, when all of them and us, now I want to read the last verse over here. He says in verse 16, 7 and 16, "For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy." In other words, this is my plan to have a temple. For all the people who think that you never have to have a church organization at all, church organizations are earthly and they have their fallacies and they have their problems. And the reason why they have their problems and shortcomings is because the church is a church is people.
Yes.
but you must, and this is the reason why I'm gonna get back to Colossians and Ephesians and all those in a moment. That's the whole reason for writing, "Lie not one to another. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Christ for God's sake, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, or Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you." This is the reason why we're supposed to live like that. And that's why he says in one of the scriptures we're going to read, he talks about us being the body and being one. Our reason for being able to have a church organization is to instruct and to learn and to worship. And this is where you come to when you're going through. This is where we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And this is where we glorify God. And nothing takes the place of it. And I've said many times, and I'll say again, not everyone who comes to church, and it has never been so. It wasn't even so in Israel's time. It was always so that there were those among Israel who were ungodly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had to have laws for the ungodly. And not everyone who comes to church, sings in the choir, ushers, preaches even, is saved. But every person who does have the Holy Spirit, every person who does have Christ dwelling in them, whether they're able to be there or not, God gives us a desire to fellowship with the people of God.
Yes.
It is a kindred, it's a kinship that we have, just like we have a desire to, I don't know these days about that much, but most of us have a desire to see our family members every now and then anyway.
Yes.
Talk to them, see how they are, especially when we're a close family. And we're supposed to be the closest family. You know why? Because we have something that even among our own families we don't have. You know what we have, those of us who are in Christ, you know what we have that even among our own families we don't have?
Yes.
We have the same spirit.
Yes.
My sister Donna's here, but I don't have Donna's spirit. My wife Paula's here. My daughter's here. I don't have their spirit.
Yes.
But all of us have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We have a kinship and a fellowship,
yes,
that is closer than even our blood,
yes,
because we share the same spirit.
Yes.
We have the same birth.
Yes.
We have the same father. We have the same inheritance.
Yes.
We are of the same family. And so when we come together in recognition that's what it really means in Ephesians when he says, when we all come in the unity of the faith, that's the faith we come in, one body, one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one Father. When we all really come into that, we come to understand that among ourselves. That's why when Jesus is teaching, he says, where any two or three are gathered in my name with that spirit, he says the Holy Ghost comes in and he'll dwell in the midst. This kid, that assembling, and I want to go to Hebrews the 10th chapter now. That assembling
cannot be replaced by TV. And if you are on Zoom and you're like Elder Rogers and we're praying for your health and we're praying for the Lord to get well, and some days the best thing you can do is get to the TV and turn it on and be in Zoom. Well, the Lord will bless you because God sees that, and you're like India and you're displaced and God understands all that because He says so to Solomon when Solomon says that the people are displaced or distressed or in a way they can't be there, then will you hear them? And God says, I will.
I will, yeah.
But for everybody who's healthy and everybody who's up and everybody who loves God, that leaves the person who's an invalid a prayer to pray. Lord, if you'll raise me up, I'll go to the house of God. That leaves the person who's displaced a prayer to pray. Lord, if you'll get me home, I'll go to the house of God.
Amen.
That leaves the person who's really going through something to pray. Lord, if you'll bring me out, I'll go to the house of God and I'll serve you. Because the house of God needs people to serve. In Solomon's case, you see all the singers and the musicians and all the people who were gathered. And I didn't read the verse before, but you had all the Levites bring the ark in. And you had all the people who labored getting the building together. And you had all the people who had to offer up all the sacrifices. There was a work to be done.
Yeah.
And God was pleased with the work because it was done to the honor of God and to the worship of God. There's a work to be done in the house of God, and it's done for the worship and honor of God. And many people are not blessed because you don't put the work. We're not saved by works, but you put nothing in God, and you wonder why you don't get anything out.
There is
it isn't a matter of, okay, well, I'm going to go to work for God. God better give me something. No. It's a labor of love. You learn to love God, and you learn to love God, and in the course of doing that, because the love that we have is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, you do what you do for God because you love God. It's like we unless you're thoughtless like I am most of the time, we give gifts and do things and. And we, I might not be the most thoughtful husband on Valentine's Day or whatever. But this church never blesses me that Paul doesn't get blessed.
Yeah.
And I mean, he said, we bless our cash.
Yeah.
Pure and simple. And when I have somebody come up, I'll walk up and hand them $50. I'll walk up and hand Sean to someone, hand on to somebody. Do whatever I do. Because you know what? I'm being blessed, so you bless them. And when you love someone and you love the things to be of God, you do things in service to God.
Yeah.
I've never been paid for my labor in God, and I've never asked to be. All the years, the musicians now get stipends. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's great. But man, I ran all over the world carrying instruments everywhere. I thought it was an honor to play. I would have paid to play.
Yeah.
One time we did pay to play. We rented a bus and drove down to Zwarbrook and took the choir down there. We paid for the bus ourselves to get there to be a part of what they were doing.
Yes.
Because we love God.
Yes.
And we wanted to be a part of it. And I'm wondering now where the love is for God so that, we don't want to, we want to sit back and say, well, we'll just watch on TV. Well, the blessing is in not having to watch on TV.
Yes.
The blessing is in that the plague has gotten to a point where you don't have to stay at home. The blessing is, I was doing Zoom from home. Matter of fact, just doing Zoom in the back is different for me because I like to be in the sanctuary.
Yes.
But because of it's just easier to air condition this for a few people than it is up there, so that's why we're back here, but on Sundays we're up there. But it's not the same for us who can do better. There is an unction for us to do better.
Yes.
For everyone who is in good health and strength and can pray and loves God, there's always a mindset of us wanting to do more.
Yes.
Wanting to do more. For every one of us that God has blessed and our finances are, our houses are paid for and our cars are paid for and our finances are doing well. We want to do more. I would give more if I had more.
Yeah.
If I had the money, I'd pay this church off.
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. I would. And I wouldn't care about who thought whatever and how they were. Because it's not about anybody on earth. It's about God.
Yes. Amen.
It's about my Father. It's about the one who saves me and keeps me. So they, Hebrews 10 and 25. There'll come a time, and this is something that the Spirit knew. You know, and people have all sorts of reasons. And some of them are pretty good reasons, I guess. And yeah, obviously some of them are good reasons because, you know, if you're in a situation where you can't get here, you have a good reason for not being here. But if you're someone who just chooses, well, from now on, I think I'm just going to sit at home and watch TV, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. If you're healthy, got your health, and you're doing fine, and you're able to come, you need to take a good look and see if you still love the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you're channel surfing to see which preaching you want to hear from time to time, you might not be looking for, you know, if that's what you're doing, you might not be looking for the Lord. You're looking for entertainment.
Yes.
If you're trying to find someone who has the most eloquent sermon or whatever, perhaps you're not really looking for the Spirit to come in. What you're really looking for is to be entertained.
Yeah.
Because I find out one of the driest preachers I know on TV is Charles Stanley. But Charles Stanley always has the Word of God.
Yes.
If you really want the Word of God, and you're going to watch the man on TV, watch Charles Stanley.
Yes.
He doesn't have, you know, and I'm not knocking T.D. Jakes. I can listen to T.D. Jakes. He has a good word from time to time. I listen to him. He has good words. But he's more emotional. And we love the emotion. And we love how he relates to us on our level. And we love all these things you like about him and you like about preachers. But if you just want the Word of God.
Yeah.
And you really want to find out whether, if you really want to check yourself and see if you're really saved or not, or whether you really love the Lord, you probably need to listen to Charles Stanley.
Yeah.
Now, my TV preacher, if I was going to listen to one, died. And that was G.E. Patterson. But G.E. Patterson had two things going for him. He had the emotion and he had the word. So, you know, I get it. I understand all that. But in our organization, we have great preachers. I think I do okay on most days. I give you the Word of God might not be what you want to hear. It might not have as much emotion as you want. But I guarantee you, you can look in the Word of God and find every word that I said.
Yes.
And His Word to live by. It might not be what you want to, you know, I might didn't hoop and jump up and down like you wanted to do. And it didn't tickle your spirit. And it didn't, I like that. It didn't do all that. Because when you listen to the Word of God, you do get to a point where, and they talk about the Word of God, you know, you saying out and all that. No, you grow up to get to a point after a while where you are like David, that, you know, you love all the Word of God. You do mature spiritually after a while, if you allow yourself, where you, when the Word of God comes forth, when someone's given the Word of God, you stop saying they're stepping on your toes. Because you learn to love all of the Word of God. You learn the necessity of needing all of the Word of God. All of it is good for reproof and for instruction, as the Word of God says. So he says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, about verse number 25. And I'll start in 24, or I'll even start up in 22 for that matter. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And let me see if I see that. Yeah, I do see it. Let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting Him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And this refers to our spirit, and all this refers to our spirit and our life in the world. We are clean. We've been purified by the washing of the water of the Word. And he says in this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good work, not forsaking, or don't forget, to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, or as Or as he says in this, about verse number 25, see if I can see it on the screen because that's a small screen. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Jesus' return is drawing near, and for the people who keep pushing the date back, you don't believe it as much as you claim to.
Yeah.
And I come across people who keep pushing the date back. Jesus can't come yet because, and it's not time for him. Recently I heard someone preaching, the gospel has not been preached all over the world. Yes, it has.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has. But everyone has not heard the gospel, and everyone hasn't this and that and the other, and you keep coming up with all these reasons. When Jesus comes, there are going to be people who are just as big of sinners as they are now.
Yeah.
If at any time the gospel has not been preached throughout all the world, it sure ain't now, because there is nothing out there now that hasn't gone everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about the people down in the African jungle or someplace that don't have let me tell you something. I've been in places where people didn't have running water. They didn't have anything else. They had a TV antenna on their house. And they had a cell phone.
And a cell phone. That's what I was going to say. A cell phone. Yeah.
Don't let them fool you.
Yes.
In this day and time. And then when I really look at it, at the time it was written about the gospel being preached throughout the world, actually the world was a whole lot smaller.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then there are other reasons. Well, Jesus can't come back because, you know, I heard somebody preaching in a house down recently. I can't remember who it was. And he was really preaching that the church is not ready yet. And it's this, that, and the other. It's always going to be some unreadiness.
Yes, that's right.
The disciples thought when Jesus went up, they weren't going to leave Gethsemane, or Mount, whatever they were on. They were going to stand right there. They thought he was coming right back.
Yes, that's right.
They were expecting him any day.
Yes.
Because he told them, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And they said he was coming back. And then Peter had to tell them later on, many more years later, he says, I know people are running around saying, where is the day of his coming? That since the time that he said that he has come back, he says, but he's still coming, though.
Yeah.
He's still coming. So then, you know, now is my salvation, and now is the time of his coming nearer than when I first believed. Don't give up on Jesus coming back. Matter of fact, don't let anything give you the mindset that he not only might not come, but try very hard to avoid having a mindset that he's not coming yet.
Yeah.
I'm not predicting he's coming tomorrow, but even among us who are Holy Ghost filled and we preach and we teach and we move by the Spirit and everything else, we got this attitude about us that says that Jesus is, hey, he ain't coming back yet. Well, I wish he'd come back today.
Yes, amen.
If Jesus came back today, I wouldn't have to worry about praying that people would be comforted who lost loved ones. They would be comforted.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have to pray for T'Angela to be healed, and Keisha Sewell to be healed, and Ella Thompson to be healed, and all these people who are going through. A young brother the other day, they sent out a message. He's got colon cancer. I wouldn't have to pray for it, because if Jesus came back, they would be made whole. That would be done.
Yes.
Say, well, what about praying for healing? I am praying for them to be healed.
Yes.
But if Jesus came back, I wouldn't have to pray that anymore. You know, I know they sing the song, If you miss me praying down here, I'll be praying over there. No, I won't be praying in heaven. I won't need to.
That's right.
I'll be in the presence of the Father, and I won't need to pray.
That's right.
I won't have to send my message by way of the Holy Spirit. I'll be where he is.
Amen.
So then he says in this, forsake not, don't stop meeting together. He knew that in those days, in the last days, different things would come about that would stop people from coming together to worship him and stop people being where they need to be in order to worship him. Look at John, 1 John 1 and 17. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, in other words, when we understand God and we really understand what we're supposed to be doing and understand who Christ is. And this is the big message that Paul spends all this time in Colossians, in the first chapter. He tells them how supreme Jesus is, about him being the firstborn of every creature, because Jesus is the only one of the Father who is begotten, who is born of the Father, who God is his Father. The rest of us are adopted. He is our Father, but we're adopted. And he talks about him being the first fruit from the dead, and the first one being resurrected from the dead into an immortal body, or being glorified in the resurrection. He talks about this, and he makes the point of saying that Jesus is before all things. Yes. And all things are created by him and for him, and through him all things consist, or all things move, all things have their properties and the way that they are. Gravity works like it does, electricity works like it does, and we do what, everything consists or is the way that it is. The planets revolve, the rain comes, the seasons come, we have kids, we multiply, we do all those things because God causes them to be so. Our hearts beat at a regular beat. There's a normal range in there where our heartbeats are normal, and blood flows in all of us in the same direction at the same speed. All these things happen because God set those things in place. When I was in biology class, I was in college, and they were trying to prove Darwinism and evolution by showing an embryo of a human and an embryo of a chicken or a bird or whatever. And they were showing at some stages how they looked exactly alike. And I said to myself, this is not evolution. And I said to the biology teacher, of course they have great similarities because they were all created by the same person.
Amen.
Of course there's something very much alike in them because they're all created by the same person. That's why we all have hearts. That's why although there's great variety, we were all created by the same person, and we didn't all evolve into something. Otherwise, something would stop existing because we evolved out of it.
Yes.
He says in this, let's not stop meeting together, as the manner of some is. There's a reason. And they use a lot of reasons. Let me give you some of them because I'm almost finishing now. One of them is to be church hurt. I had to confess, and I was telling Chandra the other day, and I talked to Chandra, I talked to Donna, I talked to Ellison. We converse and we talk about things and different people. And we were talking about being church hurt, and I have to apologize to a lot of people because in the past I have scoffed at people who are church hurt as a reason for not being in church.
Yes.
And I've said, hurt is hurt, no matter how you got it. Well, that's not true. There's a difference when the place that you come to and the people you come to for healing hurt you.
Yeah.
It's like a child who's abused by the mother or father, the very person who's supposed to take care of them and secure them and nurture them and do all those things. When they hurt them,
that's different
than somebody who's down the street that they barely know, or a friend for that matter, or whatever. That's different. And it's the same thing in churches. Because we put so much of ourselves into church because we're supposed to. And we learn to rely on people because we're walking in the light to the best we can, and we're hoping that they're walking in the light. And we're depending in the moment, and we're taught in churches to let go and let God.
Yes.
And just, this is where you can come and of a truth, with the Spirit of the Lord is there's liberty and so forth and so on. But what we have to be careful about is that it is the Spirit that we understand is the one that gives the liberty and not the people.
Yes.
And we have to be very careful about putting our trust in the people to the point where we trust them, but we have to always remind ourselves that they are people after all.
Yes.
And it's okay, it is all right to give a pastor or a superintendent or a bishop or whatever and appreciate you. That's fine. And it's good to have a pastor that you can trust in God and you can say, well, he really did this or they really did that or whatever. But don't ever get to the point, you know, and it's all right to give them some praise. You know, my pastor's really great and my bishop's really great and so forth and so on. But don't ever get to the point of worship.
Yes.
Where they become your God.
Amen.
So when do they do that? When you get the mindset, that they are incapable of doing wrong, they have become an idol.
Yeah, that's right.
Because only God is incapable of doing wrong.
Yes.
You can have, it's all right to have the mindset, and I hope you do, trust him enough to say, I don't think my pastor would do that. I don't believe that my bishop would do that.
Yes.
But don't ever get to the point where you say it is not possible for them to have done that. They can't possibly do that. No, now you have gone into another room. Don't ever let your mind get to that point where you have to always consider they are human just like you are. And when you count your many faults and flaws, then you have to consider that hopefully they're more spiritual than you and they've gotten rid of a lot of them that you still have, but they're not yet spiritually perfect.
That's right.
Well, they're just not.
They're not.
And hopefully they won't do anything to really damage the church or damage you. And if they do, they'll have enough, they'll be sensitive enough in the spirit and obedient enough to God to try in every way they can to correct it. When you're in a position of leadership, when you break the people's trust, it's your responsibility to try to reestablish it again. It is not the people's responsibility to reestablish your trust.
Yes, that's right.
It's yours. When you break the people's trust, you have the responsibility of reestablishing it. And there's nothing worse than a little sniveling somebody who's doing something wrong, and you got all the people trying to get people to trust you again, and you won't do it yourself.
Yes.
That makes me not trust you even more.
That's right. Yes.
If you can't step up and say, I was wrong, and I want y'all to forgive me, and you know, and I'm asking God for grace and all, if you can't do that, and you just keep marching on, I make up my mind, you're as guilty as sin. So maybe they forgive. Maybe they asked God to forgive them. Maybe they did, but you didn't do anything to help the people. So then when people get broken in a church, that's a reason not to go. And when they get disappointed, that's a reason why they don't go. But you've got to let the Spirit build you up, and you've got to go back and figure out that God has somebody someplace that you can worship with. This you must do. You can't write off everything because, because one person, hurt you. You can't write off everybody. Because that's not everybody. If one church lets you down, don't write off every church. I don't do churches anymore. No, you got to find one where the Holy Ghost still reigns supreme. You got to find one where Jesus still has the preeminence, where the Word of God is still being preached. So, as a pastor like everybody else, you probably messed up. Yeah, well, find you one that messed up but came back and said, Lord, forgive me. And there are a lot of them. Find you one where they've reestablished themselves in God and got up and went on and were honest with the people and forward with the people and said, what I did I should have never done. I've been there and done that, and I had to say that myself. What I never will do again. Not will. But did you do it? Innocent to proven guilty. We can't live like that.
No.
So people have reasons for not being in the house of God. But they're not good reasons.
No.
You might have a reason for not being in that house of God, but you can't find a reason for not being in any house of God.
Yes, that's right.
You might have a reason for not trusting that preacher, but you don't have a reason for not trusting any preacher, because God has some preachers who are living holy. You might not like that bishop, but you can't say that there's none anywhere that you'll ever trust again, because God has some that you can trust in the Spirit. You can they're going on in God.
Amen.
And God expects you, if you're walking in the light, expects you to find them and be one of those two or three or one of those people who are fellowshipping and get yourself together. Why does he need me to find them? It isn't that God needs you to find them for God. God needs you to find them for you.
Amen.
God doesn't need you for, you know, it doesn't give God any power because you come to church. It allows God's power to help you. It doesn't change anything about what God's doing or God's plan. It doesn't move God in any way from God's will or what God's doing. It puts you in the will of God so God can do things for you. So I ain't got to go to no church. I can read my Bible. No, there's a difference. There's this fellowship. There's this move of the Spirit that comes from obeying God. And since God says you, and God knows that you, we are not individuals. I look sometimes at the people who live life below zero, live in the Arctic Circle and all that. I stopped watching it because I made up my mind, those people, I don't know about that. God doesn't plan for us to live by ourselves.
Yes. No.
He doesn't plan for us to live by ourselves. See, for me, it's not natural for one person to live on an island and love it.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have this kinship, this fellowship that draws us together and causes us to want to be in the same place and sing the same songs together in harmony and lift up our hands before the same God together and worship Him and say the same prayer. And we're supposed to get joy out of reading the Scripture together and being in the same place and looking for God together, waiting for God together. Who wants to be the only person sitting in a baseball stadium watching a game?
No.
You know, the person, you know, even when you're in sin, who goes to a bar when nobody shows up at you? Well, you know, I'm an ex-sinner. And I never wanted to play someplace where there was only one person in the place. Anybody else an ex-sinner? Who goes to a party where you're the only person there?
Yeah. Not a party. Not a party.
Then how are you so willing to say, but I don't need anybody else to serve God. I can do that all by myself. I can. No, you need the fellowship. You might not know you need the fellowship, but you do. If you're wondering why you're weak, it's because of the lack of encouragement. This, you know, Ephesians said he gave some, and he gave the churches gifts. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the edifying of the building up of the body of Christ. He put workers in. My last scripture, and I'll show you this one. It's in 1 Corinthians. He talks about it when he talks about gifts. And he makes this point among gifts. I want to know who sits in their house and prophesies. Who among you, all of you who have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, you know, to whom do you prophesy when you sit in your house? It's in 1 Corinthians 13. No, I'm sorry, 12. 12. I like this. And he talks about it. For by one Spirit, 12 and 13. 12 and 13. I could start at 12. And he's talking about the gifts. But anyway, he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized or brought into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. This is what we have in common. I said that earlier.
Yes.
We have the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And as he goes down with the whole thing, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But Now hath God set members, every one in the body, as hath pleased him. And if there were one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Now, I know you're going to go on television and somebody's going to talk about they don't need to be in the church, they don't need to be in this. Then why do they have an audience?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Why do you need, then why are you, yes, if you're talking about not needing a church, not needing to have one, why are you in one?
Yes.
Getting your honorarium.
Yes. Yes.
From people who are members of the church who is sponsoring you to be there.
Yes.
Why aren't you just talking from a studio?
Yes.
And you're talking to people who are part of a church who have ushers and singers.
Yes.
And
yes,
preachers,
yes,
and counselors, and teachers, and hopefully prophets, and evangelists, and apostles, and you know, and you're saying we don't need no church. And who are you talking to? People who are paying the electrical bills and furnishing the air conditioning because they paid their tithes,
yes,
they paid their offerings, and
yes,
and they maintain it. And you, when you read about the temple, you find out all that the people brought and how they built and what they did. Churches need that today. We need a place to come and preach and to teach. And we need comfortable seats so the people don't have an excuse not to be there, and soft carpets. And so you got to have them to be saved. No, you don't have to have any of them.
No.
But they sure do help.
No, yes.
I'd rather be in, I don't have to have air conditioning to be saved, but I sure would rather sit in a church that's air conditioned than one that's not.
Amen.
And he says, now are ye the body of Christ in verse 27. I'll cut it short. And God, and members in particular, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. And then he goes on, why do I need all these if I'm not going to have an established church? Which is what Paul always did, established churches. There is a church. It is the church that Paul talks about. It is Christ's glorious church as I'm finishing. That he's going to present to himself without spot or wrinkle. And the body of Christ, Christ's glorious church, is everybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. And then there's what we'll call a subset or an instructional level. Oh, we can say something else. We can get really modern, which is a term they don't use too much anymore. They say subset. We used to use the term microcosm. And it means a miniature version or a smaller version of the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And local churches are in fact supposed to be a microcosm or a smaller version of Christ's glorious church.
Yes.
That's why in our local churches we sing and we praise and we have prophecy and we do all the things of God. And this is why when Paul talks to the churches in Ephesus and the churches in Colossians and all the, you know, and the churches in Ephesians, this is why he's setting them in order. He's telling them, if a brother be overtaken by a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore them,
yes,
so the church,
yes,
can roll on.
Yes.
Considering yourself, lest you'll also be overtaken. This is why James is saying to them, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. They're encouraging the church because we, being humans, need to know how to live together.
Yes.
That's why he says his commandment is that we love one another. Because
yeah,
he knew we'd get in here, we didn't love one another, we'd fight like dogs. And then we'd break up and then we'd go out different ways and the church would not roll on.
Yes.
And we wouldn't do the function that the church is given to do.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody tonight. There is a function of the local church. And when I say that, I mean that too, because we have a lot of people who just believe they belong to the ambiguous over, you know,
yes,
belong to every church.
Yes.
Or some of us in our organization in particular, you just belong to the organization.
Yes.
And you don't have any loyalty to anybody or anything, you just belong to the organization.
Yes.
That's not the way it functions.
No.
There has to be someone in a church who doesn't mind sweeping the floor. And somebody, you know, said, well, if we got no money, we have janitorial reserves. Well, you know, if you have a janitorial reserves, then you have to have some good tithe paying members to pay the janitors.
That's right.
And if you can afford to have lawn service, then good. You need to have good tithe paying members that have lawn service and so forth and so on. You have to have people who are willing to put something into the house of God for the purpose of worship. And what is the purpose of worship? So we can make the pastor look big? No, so we can glorify God.
Yes.
We need to have a place where people can come in, which is not their living room where they fight in most of the time, which is not their kitchen where they slave in most of the time, which is not their everyday, you know, you're watching me preach on the same TV that you watch, all the other stuff that you watch, and I'm just somebody you put in your schedule. No, there needs to be a time and a place where you come for the sole purpose of worshiping and glorifying God. And if you make up your mind to do that, then that turns your mind. This is why churches, you know, when people get carried away with it, they mess up everything. But this is the reason why when you come to church, as we were growing up and even now, there's supposed to be a reverence and a... Because you turn your mind toward God. It takes your mind out of your living room, out of your den, out of your wherever it is. And it puts you in a place that has one single purpose if it is doing what it's supposed to do. And that's worshiping God. The music is there to the glory of God. And the prophecy is there to the glory of God. And the prayer is there to the glory of God. And the praises are there to the glory of God. And the testimonies are there to the glories of God. And the hand waves are there to the glory of God. And the dance is there to the glory of God. And all that we do, we're doing the songs and praise, everything to the glory of God. And for this one period of time that we're there worshiping, be it an hour or 2 hours or whatever it is, for this period of time that we're worshiping, we're turning our focus for the one time or twice, whatever it is, we're turning everything towards God, and we don't have, you know, and we're moving away from all of the outside world. It's the closest thing we can get to heaven. It is the single thing that we have that has a solitary purpose. That's the reason why you shouldn't change it into a roller skating rink or basketball court or something else. You should have some place that's dedicated to the worship of God. And I'd say, well, do you praise God in your living room? Yes, but it's not dedicated to the worship of God. We also watch the news. And many other things, some of which we probably shouldn't even watch. But there's much to do. And the same screen that you're watching, you know, your favorite person preach on, is the same one you watch whatever else you watch. There needs to be some separation, some sanctification that comes with being in the house of God. Okay, I'm going to stop there tonight. I want to encourage everybody. I really appreciate you being on Zoom. I appreciate, you know, and really, it's really good if you're on Zoom, if you'll at least bring your picture up. Bring your picture up, because since it is the worship service that you have, it would be kind of nice to see you. Can't make people come to church. John, give me a quote, please. You can't make people come to church. You can't make them serve God. But I want to encourage you to do that. Get back to the house of God. There is a difference. Find you. Say, well, I didn't like the one I came out of, and I'm not going back. Well, then find you one that you can like. Find you one you can. I've really been hurt so bad. Then find you. Let me make a suggestion for you. Find you a church that is doing so well that you don't have to do anything. But they do have a good worship and a good praise and a good message. And go sit and let yourself be washed and healed and cleansed. Find one that's full of the Holy Ghost. Don't find one that doesn't have any, you know, don't waste your time with somebody who doesn't have the Holy, you know, someplace where they don't have the Spirit. Find you a good Holy Ghost filled church. And if you feel like you don't really want to participate anymore in church or whatever, then for the period of time until the Lord can convince you of otherwise, don't participate, don't do anything. Just go sit and allow the presence of the Lord to comfort you and bring you back around. I promise you, if you ever had the Holy Ghost and you will allow the Lord, He will stir up the spirit that's in you. And you'll be back in the spirit of things. And the Lord will move. But you will never get there sitting in front of a TV. I don't care how great the preacher is. I don't care if it's Joyce Meyer. I don't care who it is. You'll never get the same move sitting in front of a TV unless
You're in a situation where the Spirit knows this is the best you can do.
Amen.
It's like the widow who gave a penny. The Spirit knows the best she can do.
Yeah.
Everybody else who gave whatever gave, it didn't matter. Best she can do.
Yeah.
And if He knows that's the best you can do,
yeah,
then the Lord will accept that.
Amen.
Because that's what you've got.
Yeah.
But if you got a lot more and you just choose not to obey God,
yeah,
then it's a different situation.
Yeah. Amen.
I was glad, let me see if I can see on this little small screen. Elder T. Angela, raise your hand. Where are you? I know you're out there. I'm trying to see on this small screen. There she is, up in the corner. Is that Elder Rogers? See, it's online. Let me move to the screen. There you are. Okay. All right, I see you now. That was Elder Latham up in the corner. There's Elder Rogers. Elder Rogers is all about mowing the church's lawn today. Lawn. Actually, it ain't lawn. Mowing the church's weeds. And the Lord said to me, tell Elder Rogers, speak to Elder Rogers and say to her, it's been a long time now, and the Lord is not saying you need to get out and go do this or do that or the other, because He knows your frame. But from time to time, when you get up on a Sunday morning and you feel well, you're feeling pretty good, just go down to the little church around the corner that you used to go to from time to time. Just go in the building. And just let them, and just be, you say, well, they ain't got that much going on. That's okay. They're like precious faith. Just be in the building. Or if you feel like it sometimes and you get up one Sunday morning and you're really feeling good, call the Masons and go up to Holies of Holies. And you don't have to do it on a regular basis, and the Lord will begin to strengthen you. But just sometimes when you feel like it, when I say feel like it, I don't mean feeling emotional like, because I know you feel like going to church all the time, but when the body feels like it. You understand what I'm saying? When the body feels like it, call Kim and ask her if she'll come get you. And I'll tell her you'd like to be in church today. And it'll be a last minute call, because you know, sometimes on Saturday Ella Rogers is feeling real good, and by Sunday,
yeah,
it's not that great. But we're gonna be praying for you, and if you start doing that, I think the Lord will begin to move. And God will lift you up. For all of us, because I know the Word of God says, He says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And I'm not saying Ella Rogers has ever not drawn nigh to God.
Yeah.
But that's just what the Lord told me today. And if you're able to do that, go to the little mom's church or whatever around the corner that you're able to go to and have a little short service, and just go for the part, just go for half an hour to an hour of the part that you can be there in, and go on in God, and the Lord will begin to bless you. Sister Nancy, same thing. Just, you know, find your little church someplace where you can just walk in from time to time, and the Spirit of the Lord will be moving, and go on in God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the house of God. Lord, we thank you for our churches and our buildings. Lord, the things that you have given us to do and put our hands to. And Lord, we ask you, oh God, Lord, we ask you to sanctify them once more, oh God. Lord, once more, sanctify them and purify them. Purify us, oh God, the lands that we are on, the parking lots, the buildings, the facilities, and all the things that are so needful in us being able to worship and carry out worship. And Lord, fill these buildings, oh God, I pray, Lord, and draw men and women to the house of God. And Lord, put your name here and your Spirit here. Lord, don't allow any evil spirits, any evil unclean spirits to come in, but Lord, scrape them off at the door as the people come in. And Lord, give them a mind to worship. Lord, a heart to worship. Put your Spirit in them. Lord, touch their spirit and give life. Renew them, oh God. Start them afresh in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, we ask you to heal tonight. Love all those, Lord, who are not in the house of God because they can't be here. Lord, make a way. Lord, whether it be healing, whether they need job changes, Lord, make a way. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrow at all. Lord,
looking from their hearts, and if they desire to be in the house of God, Lord, make a way. Lord, you are a way maker. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you build up every witness out of my voice. Lord, if they have been, Lord, for those, Lord, who might have grown cold, Lord, I pray, Lord, you stir up the gift of life within them, O God. Remind them of the former days when they were first illuminated, Lord, when their hearts did burn the word of God and for the people of God and for the things that did God. Lord, remind them in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring them to the house of worship. And Lord, when they come, Lord, move from heaven. Lord, as we glorify your name, Lord, let your presence be known. Let your presence be felt, O God. Move among us and touch and heal and deliver and set free. Break every yoke, O God. Lord, break every yoke. Lord, break the yoke of those that are tired and don't even know why they're tired. Break the yoke. Lord, break the yoke of those, Lord, who go from day to day and it's just a drudge. And they, you know, and they're just something, they're just burdened with a burden they can't even explain. Lord, break the yoke. Undo the heavy burden and let the oppressed go free. In the name of Jesus. Lord, heal the broken heart. Lord, comfort, Lord. Comfort the soul this morning, oh God. Feel the longing soul. Lord, we'll glorify your name. We'll give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for every one of you. This is all of you all tonight.